Praise on the CD. Nice hairs. Did you see the CD cover yet? Oh, okay, I was like, all right. So, before we actually get started on where we're headed, I want to address something that went on this week. That if you haven't heard about, you're living in a closet, okay, or in a bubble or whatever. Yeah, who has not heard about the shooting in Las Vegas? All right, good. So I'm not going to be like talking into total randomness. So first things first, obviously we feel very bad for all of the people that were hurt, that were injured in that whole process. And obviously, if you're following any of this at all, you're seeing a lot of really awesome just God stories coming out of this whole picture. A lot of things that people would have been here and would have been in the middle of this, but for some odd reason, God kept them safe from this process, and we don't know what it is. What I want us to realize in this picture is for the last few months, we've been discussing what? Okay, how do we make God happy? Fellowship, making disciples of all nations. See, this is the key to this picture. We don't know when our last day is. We don't know when your last day is, your last day is, your last day is, or your last day is. But the fact of the matter remains, we have got to be telling people about Jesus because we don't know when their last day is. So of the 53, 59, whatever people that actually passed away, we don't know how many of them at that moment left this earth and instantly were in heaven. Obviously, everybody's heard of Columbine, right? Yes, no, we have no idea what Aaron's talking about. Columbine? Yeah, the school shooting that was like way long time ago when I was in school. Okay. What about the Wedgwood shooting? Okay, so we now have a school shooting and a church shooting, and any of those could be us at any moment in time. And so we've got to make sure that not only we know who Jesus is and what our future holds, but our friends do as well. Okay? Good? All right. So, Gospel of John, this is where we're going to be. I don't know how long we're going to be here. We're going to see what God decides, and I don't know. We're going to start walking through this kind of verse by verse and picking out what God wants us to see. But what I want more than anything is not for us to see what God did, what Jesus did. That's not what we're looking for in this picture. What we're looking for is who Jesus is. Okay? So, like I spoke last week, as far as we can get on social media and know things about people that we haven't seen or heard from in a long time, we could very easily get on Facebook or Instagram or Twitter or whatever and learn things about people that we don't even know. But you could not... I'll give you an example. My dear, wonderful wife likes to follow celebrities on Instagram. She knows all kinds of stuff about them, but if you asked her if she had a relationship with them, her answer would be no. So we need to get to a place where we don't know things about Jesus, but we have a relationship with who Jesus is. Okay? All right, so we're going to John 1. That's where we're going to start. John 1, verse 1. You got to start in the beginning of the book, right? Okay. Y'all are really slow tonight. Oh. Wow. All right, so while you guys get there, I want you to look at something. John is a little out there, does things a little backwards, and so instead of taking, and at the very beginning of the book, like when you write a paper, what do you do in your introduction? Okay, topic sentence, thesis statement, which does what? Introduces it, gives a purpose, right? So instead of John being like, hey, I have an idea, I'm going to write this way, he does things a little backwards. He waits until basically the end of the book to tell us what the purpose of the book is. So the purpose of John is actually in John 20. You don't have to turn there, okay? It's on the screen, okay? John 20, verse 30 and 31. It says, the disciples saw Jesus do many other miraculous signs in addition to the ones recorded in this book. But these are written so that you may continue to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing in him, you'll have life by the power of his name. The purpose of this book is so you may continue to believe that Jesus is the Messiah. Why he put this in chapter 20 and not in chapter 1? I don't know. It's John. Ask him when you die. Okay, so he wants you to become a believer, continue to believe. The other part of this picture, John 8:31, Jesus said to the people who believed in him, you are truly my disciples if you remain faithful to my teachings. Okay, keep that in mind. And let's look at John 15:6. Maybe. Oh, yeah. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that's thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up and thrown into the fire. Kind of like hell. Yes. So here's the way this is. John wants us to believe in Jesus and then remain in him. Okay? If you do not remain in me. Okay? Remain in him, follow his teachings. That's the purpose of the book. Believe in him, remain in him. Yes. Read it, do it. It's like somebody was paying attention. Okay, so John 1:1. In the beginning, the Word already existed. Where have you heard the phrase in the beginning before? Genesis 1:1. So when Genesis 1:1 happens, what does it say? No, what does John say? Not what does Genesis say. What does John say? We're in John. So before Genesis, the Word already existed. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. Here's the deal. That Word, okay? Oh, yeah, it's not up there. The actual Word that is Word, in a capital W in that thing, is the Greek word logos. Who in the world cares? I know. Everybody hates it when pastors stand up there and talk Greek. Here's what matters. In the Old Testament, every time it says the word of the Lord or the Lord spoke, that's what they saw that as. So John's sitting here saying all of that in the Old Testament is Jesus. Okay? Verse 2, he existed in the beginning with God. God created everything through him, and nothing was created except through him. So Jesus was a piece, a part of all of creation. The whole Genesis story happened through who? Y'all got one right. I'm proud of you. So, verse 4, the Word gave life to everything that was created, and his life brought light to everyone. Everybody say light. All right, one more time. Everybody say light.
Light.
Okay, there we go. So, verse 5, the light shines into the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it. So, what happens in Genesis? There was darkness, and what happened? God said, let there be light, and there was light. Okay? So, it's saying Jesus is that light that was shown into the darkness, and the darkness cannot overcome it. So no matter what darkness you're going through in your life, it cannot overcome the light that's in your life. Okay? Life sucks. School sucks. Parents suck. Whatever that darkness is that you're facing cannot overcome the light that Jesus is in your life. All right? Verse 6, God sent a man. Who sent him? John the Baptist, to tell about the light so that everyone might believe because of his testimony. John himself was not the light. He was simply a witness to tell about the light. The one who is the true light, who gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. So God sends John the Baptist to make people aware. Where'd it go? Okay. Verse 10. He came into the very world he created, but the world did not recognize him. He came to his own people, but even they rejected him. Why'd they reject Jesus? He claimed to be the Messiah, but they said no. Why? Why could they not accept that he wasn't the Messiah? Yes.
He wasn't a king.
Okay. Not quite. Not quite. Ivy's pretty much there. He wasn't a king. All the prophecies said that he was going to come to free the Israelites. So they expected this mighty warrior to come in, go to battle with the Romans, and set them all free. That's not what he did. He did not set them free from the Romans. They were thinking earthly. God's got a spiritual plan. Okay? So they rejected him because of this. Verse 12. But to all who believed him and accepted him, he gave the right to become children of God. How do you become someone's child? They birth you? What else? They adopt you. So, how many of you did Christ give birth to? Okay, not two. God's not a woman. Okay, so the answer would be how many? So if Jesus gave birth to none of you, then how do you become the children of God? He adopted you. Okay, here's what I want you to see. Adopted kids have it better than kids who are born to parents. Why? Such a great question. Here's the first one, okay? How many of you got to pick your parents? Nice try, Ethan. No, you didn't. None of you. None of you, like, came out of the womb and were like, I don't like those people. I want to go with these over here. That didn't happen. Okay, so on the same token, how many of your parents got to pick you? None. They were like, we're going to do this thing. 10 months later, hey, look, we have a little Mariah. It's actually 10 months. It's 40 weeks. It's 36. Okay, here we go. Sarah, real quick, side note, how many kids have you had? Okay, good. So we'll take it from the person who has experience in this matter. It's 40 weeks. No, I didn't push them out. Thank you very little. That would be very interesting. Okay. Wow. Okay. So anyways, here's the whole deal. None of your parents got to actually pick you. Like, you showed up and they're like, oh, I love them. And then like somewhere about 2 years old, they were like, can we get a refund? You know how I know this? Because I have a 2-year-old and I kind of want a refund sometimes. It is rude, but oh my gosh. She's being a pill. Like that whole terrible 2 thing, it's real. Okay? All of you at 2, your parents wanted to just grab you and... Yeah, they may want to do that now too, but I'm just saying that I don't have a teenager to speak from, so all I know is I sometimes want to strangle my 2-year-old. I sometimes want to. Yes, feel free to call someone. There's no marks on my child. Okay, so back to where we're at. Here's the other part of this picture, okay? Let me tell you the best part about being adopted. Let's just say that for some odd reason, somewhere about 18, you decide you really don't like your parents and that they're stupid and you want to do your own thing. So you leave and you do really, really dumb. You get mad and you have this big, huge fight. Your parents can pull out their will, rewrite it, and leave you out. So when they die, you get nothing. That's against the law if you're adopted. Seriously, I'm being 100% dead honest with you. If your parents give actual birth to you, you can be written out of their will. Okay, yes, Kristen. Okay, leave it 7 days. Either way, here's what I want to tell you real quick, because I understand it's not fair and it should be the other way around or whatever. Take it up with the government. I got nothing, okay? The fact of the matter is still, if you're adopted, you can't be written out of the will. You're guaranteed an inheritance. So what does that have to do with anything in regards to the Bible? What? If you accept Jesus into your heart, you're guaranteed to go to heaven. You have a guaranteed inheritance. Okay? So, back to verse 12, it says, "But to all who believe him and accepted him, he gave the right to become children of God. They are reborn, not with a physical birth resulting from human passion or plan, but a birth that comes from God." Verse 14, "So the Word became human and made his home among us. He was full of unfailing love and faithfulness." Jesus became human. Perfect love and God's glory. I want you guys to look at something real quick. Colossians 2:9. Oh yeah, okay. "For in Christ lives all the fullness of God in a human body." So I just finished 4 years at this super awesome school to get a master's degree studying theology. What is theology? Yeah, no. Not quite. Studying the Bible, no. Derek, what's theology? The study of God. Yes. Yeah. So, here's the deal. I now have this pretty degree, this piece of paper that says I'm smart when it comes to the study of God. Let me explain something to you. You don't need this degree. I'm going to show you perfect, unfallible theology. It's right there. "For in Christ lives all the fullness of God in a human body." If you think, see, feel, or believe something that does not exist in Christ, I would be scared. Every single thing that happens in the Bible comes to fruition in God. Okay, tech crew, fired. So, here's the other thing. It says, in the bottom half of verse 14, it says, "And we have seen his glory, the glory of the Father's one and only Son." This glory that they're talking about is this awesome thing called Shekinah. It does sound funny. It's really and truly this unbelievable word, this concept that's shown throughout the entire Bible. Okay? The word Shekinah means to settle with or dwell with. So, it says, "We have seen his glory." What they're talking about here is where God dwells. where God's presence is. In the Old Testament, what did this look like? Well, for starters, in Exodus, it's God going before the Israelites as a pillar of fire or a cloud. Remember, Israelites leave Egypt. They're wandering through the wilderness. They're getting led by the pillar of fire and the cloud. Nobody's read this story. Okay, so pillar of fire or a cloud. The other thing is, once the temple is built, it says that the glory of the Lord filled the temple. And it's shown so much that people couldn't look at it. Exactly. The Shekinah glory of God. Here's the thing. In the Old Testament, in order to approach God, you had to be like the elite. You had to be part of a special tribe. You had to go to a special place. You had to dress a special way, go up onto a mountain or do something special in order to encounter God. What's John telling us here? The New Testament, the Word became human and did what? Made His home among us. His fullness, the Shekinah glory of God, made its home among us. So instead of us having to go to the priest, instead of us having to go to the tabernacle, instead of us having to do all these things, God's glory resides right here among us. Exactly. So, here's the thing. In the Old Testament, this whole thing was all about rules. In the New Testament, it's all about what? Love, grace. Yes. Your belief. Relationship. Old Testament's rules, New Testament is relationship. This is what we're going after, is this relationship with God who chose to dwell among us. It's verse 15. It says, John testified about him when he shouted to the crowds, "This is the one who I was talking about when I said, someone is coming after me who is far greater than I am, for he existed long before me. From his abundance, we have all received one gracious blessing after another." In the other versions of the Bible, this says grace upon grace. What in the world does that even mean? It's saying in the Old Testament, we had this attempted form of grace. You sin, you commit, or what's the word I'm looking for? You make a sacrifice. Thank you. Okay? So you sin, sacrifice. Sin, sacrifice. That was the grace that God gave. The sacrifice covered our sins. In the New Testament, there is grace that comes on top of that grace. That Jesus came, became human, dwells among us, made the ultimate sacrifice, so we don't have to do all that anymore. Chapter 16 says, "From his abundance we have all received one gracious blessing after another." Verse 17, "For the law was given through Moses." Okay, he's explaining this grace upon grace. "For the law was given through Moses, but God's unfailing love and faithfulness came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but the unique one who is himself God is near to the Father's heart. He has revealed God to us." This goes all the way back to, again, nobody's seen God, but the person who's near to the Father's heart, because of that, God's been revealed to us. Going back to Colossians 2:9, the fullness of God. I'm going to fire my entire media team. The fullness of God came through Jesus Christ. Again, everything that we need to know about God exists inside Jesus. So what's the purpose of this series? To make us believe and keep believing, okay? Do what? Make sure we get to heaven, okay? What's the purpose of the series? What did I say at the very beginning that I want us to do? To do it? Almost. Not to know about God, to know Him. So we don't want to know things about Him, we want to know Him. In order to know God, we're going to do what? If we want to know about God, we're going to do what? Study Jesus. Okay. So, here's what we're going to do. We're going to try something a little bit different this week. Let's see, 3, 6, 9, 13. We're going to break up into small groups a little bit and just kind of chit-chat about some things. It's going to be relatively informal. It's nothing super crazy, okay? All right, so let's do you four. Huh? What? Off. 3, 6, 9, 13. Oh, yeah, them two. Well, one of them back there. Okay, so you four with Emily. And then let's do, I don't know. All right, we'll do Kristen and Mariah with little Emily. And then we'll do Ryan and Tristan and you two with Derek. And we'll do Isaiah and Anthony. Damon. Gabriel. Dad. And Billy. With me. We can just hang out right over here.